This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
I'm back, and I'm better than ever. Got a knack for making things better. Face facts, 'cause your opinion don't matter. This maniac is gonna step on whomever.
So it's 2018, Ronnie.
Yep. I just flew my car.
Yeah.
It was pretty crazy. Yeah, did you
get your flying cars yet?
I did.
Yeah, it was exciting. As soon as it clocked midnight, my car just took off the ground.
Yeah. You know what sucks, though?
What?
There's no flying gas stations.
Oh, well, I mean, you know, I don't mind landing my car every once in a while.
No, I wanted to be Lando Calrissian.
Oh, my goodness. I want to be that weird guy with Lando Calrissian. Not the guy with the weird, like the robot guy with the weird headband, but when his Chewbacca, that weird fish alien dude.
Oh, yeah.
And I just forgot what his name was. I knew it for the longest time, and I used to pull that out when I was playing Star Wars Trivial Pursuit. And I would like actually know like completely weird stuff, and Sparky will probably know it.
Yeah.
So he'll have to tweet us.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I just forgot his name. Oh, well. But anyway. So, year's over, and there was a bunch of comics.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much it, I think.
Yeah. Well, good talk.
Yeah, good. Thank you for listening.
I think across all spectrums or all companies, there's a crap load of good comics that came out.
Yeah, it's funny. I was trying to come up with my top 10 list of comics that debuted in 2017. And I did it. I forget who posted something on Facebook about it. And I came up with 10 from like all the different companies. And then like afterwards, I sat and I realized that there were at least like 4 or 5 more that I wanted to put on the list.
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, overall, I think there's a lot of really good stuff happening.
Yeah. Let's see. Maybe it was you and I, or maybe it was somebody else I was talking to. But like, right now is like the 90s of wrestling, like for comics, because like in the 90s, you know, the indies were going strong, and you know, there's good stuff all over the place.
Right.
And then you know, it kind of dried up and all that, and then now it's back with the indies taking up and doing everything, and that's kind of like with the comics. It seemed like, you know, there for a while, the 90s was booming, as we all know.
Right.
You know, I have 4 wrapped copies of The Death of Superman that I'm going to send each kid through college with.
You could still do that.
Yeah.
And then, you could buy the 2 pages of one of their textbooks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Or mechanical pencils at Dollar General.
Yeah. Maybe half a mechanical pencil.
Yeah, maybe just the lead.
Just the lead, yeah.
Or the eraser. But like, it seemed like after the 90s, then the indies kind of slowed down a little bit. And then now it seems like there's indie stuff everywhere. From 451 to Image, of course, to DC and Marvel, to Aftershock.
Aftershock.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so, lots of places.
But you know, the big two still put out some good stuff. Which I think this is the best year that DC's had in a while, I would say.
Well,
from my standpoint.
When I'm trying to think, when did Rebirth start? It was like Well, now that it's 2018, not 2017. It was like the summer of 2016.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
But like for the fiscal year, though, it would count. Because, I mean, you started that in summer of 2016 and then kept the ball rolling. And then of 2017 is where you get to spread your wings and try different things, I would think.
Yeah. I mean, I think overall. And I apologize to everybody listening. I've had no voice for the whole week. So I'm doing my best. But I think overall for DC, this is probably the strongest year that they've had in a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. Which, that's what I said.
Yeah.
And you didn't lose your voice. You're just going through puberty finally. So
finally, yeah.
You're going to be like Peter Brady.
Yeah. It's time for a change. Yeah, I mean, like going back, you know, because 2016 was kind of split between New 52 and Rebirth. And I'm trying to think if that was when, I can't remember now if it was 2016 or 2015 that they took literally a 2-month break from putting out comics when they moved from New York to California and they did Convergence for like April and May or March and April. It was like the weirdest thing. They're like, yeah, we're not going to do any normal books this month because we're moving offices. We're going to put out 2 months of Convergence stories.
Yeah, that and was like the here's end the story. Of 2015, right?
Was it? I don't remember. I thought it was springtime.
Okay.
But I honestly, I don't remember. But, you know, like that was a weird year, you know, and overall the New 52, like there was some good stuff in it, but I mean, at like a consistency basis, it like there were not nearly as many, in my opinion, good books consistently throughout the New 52 as there are so far in Rebirth.
Right. Yep. I
you know, like totally for an arc here or there, there was some great stuff, but from beginning to end, there were very, very few New 52 titles that I think stayed as good as they were when they started. And then, I mean, even going back to before New 52, it was like all over the place also.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Yep. I seriously think that this, that 2017 was the best year that they've had for a while.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't have any numbers or anything to back up that statement, but for me wise, it just seems like they were the end of 2016, like got the ball rolling, and then, you know, the beginning of 2017, it seemed like everything was fine and leading up to things like Doomsday Clock and whatnot.
Right.
And they were able to put out crazy things like Metal or The Death of Hawkman or Mr. Miracle even, or
right.
Young Animal as an imprint that books have been totally crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, to be honest, I haven't really gotten into any of the Young Animal stuff. There are a few titles. There's a few titles that a lot of people talk about as being really good. And it's just like, I have so much other stuff that I just never got into it. But I think, you know, once I've read zero comics this vacation week, so I'm behind. I thought I would catch up and get ahead in all my reading, but I'm even more behind than I was. So I'm going to have to really power through in the next week or so to catch up on stuff.
Yeah.
And maybe when I do that, I'll start jumping into some of the other stuff. I mean, I've heard Mother Panic is really good.
See, and that's the only one that I kept. I mean, all the other ones I don't subscribe to anymore.
Okay.
But Mother Panic I do, even though I'm like 2 or 3 issues behind still. But
okay.
It was the only one that really caught me story-wise.
Okay.
So, I mean, and it's good. But it's still, for me anyways, it's just alternative look into Gotham and
right.
the Bat Family type stuff instead of, you know, something that grabs me and shakes me down.
Right. I'm trying to think what were some of the other Cave Carson was a Young Animal, I think.
Yep. And Doom
Patrol. Shade the Changing Girl. Right. Those are the only 4 that I can think of now.
Was Bug? Is Bug one? Or is that DC? No, that's DC.
Oh, you know what? No. I think that's Young Animal.
Is it?
Yeah, that one is the one I've heard the least about. But I know a lot of people really liked Cave Carson when it started.
Yeah.
I don't know if it held up or not. Same thing, Shade the Changing Girl. A bunch of people were talking about that one, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I can always pick up a trade. I'm assuming they've been out long enough to have trades by now.
Yeah, I would say so. Or volumes on Comixology.
Yeah, something like that. Do you have any storylines or anything from the last year that really stuck out to you?
See, I was thinking about that, and I really liked I really liked it so much I forgot the name of their society.
Forgot the name of the book?
No, the book was Detective.
Okay.
Was it Suicide or the, you know, with the Clayface like person and the First Victim Society or whatever it's called.
Right.
I really liked,
was their name?
Yeah. I really liked that storyline.
Right.
I thought it was Suicide Society, but maybe not.
No, it wasn't Suicide. It was like not the Victim Society.
Victim Syndicate?
Yeah, the First Victim something.
Yeah.
Right? I'm spacing on the name.
Yeah.
Might be the Victim Syndicate.
Yeah. I really enjoyed that storyline for that book. And to me, I really liked Batman proper storyline, where it's going and whatnot.
Going back to Detective.
Yeah.
Right after after Tim dies, and they did what was the storyline right after that? That was Night of the Monster Men.
Where Tim died. I think.
Yeah, right after he died.
Yeah.
Where I thought that arc was probably my favorite, in that, you know, it had basically Batman is mourning the loss of Tim by being as Batman as he can. Like, you know, nobody else dies.
Yeah.
That's it. We are going to stop however crazy and ridiculous this whole situation gets. Nobody else dies. That's it. I'm drawing the line. And, you know, they pulled it off. So that one, to me, I really enjoyed. But I'm thinking that might have been at the end of last year. But I don't remember.
Yeah.
But more recently, the Batgirl arc with the Red Queen.
Okay, yeah.
I really dug that one because I liked how, you know, I said it before, I think, how it paralleled the history of Nightwing and Batgirl when, you know, they were teenagers just starting out, and they solved their, you know, their first case together, and it led to, you know, them having to team up again to basically finish solving that first case.
Yeah.
Now that they are way more seasoned and, you know, they know what they're doing, and it's not like they're sneaking into a frat party and they're like embarrassed. You know, I thought the one scene where they're like, you know, oh no, we're going to see each other. You know, I can't believe we're going to see each other. And of course you think that they're talking about seeing each other naked as they're changing in the room, but it's no, they're going to see each other without their masks on.
Right. Yeah.
And they're both like, oh, hey, I'm Dick. Oh, I'm Barbara. Like, you know, you're cute. Thank you. You know, like that. I liked how that whole thing. And I mean, the story was great, and Batgirl's been really good consistently since it started. But that sticks out as a more recent storyline for me of one that I think really, really hit the nail on the head the whole way through.
Yeah. What's one storyline that didn't hit the mark? Because I can give you one right off the bat for me.
I mean, you know what my answer is going to be. The Batman and Catwoman engagement.
Okay.
That's, you know, I've said enough. I don't need to go on about this again.
No, that's fine. Because for me, it's the Superman Oz reveal.
Oh, yeah. You know what?
That one really...
Yeah.
I was like super excited because Superman, the book was good again. And then, like, we got the reveal, and I'm like, I'm not saying it was, but to me, it just felt like a cheap reveal.
Yeah. That, I mean, they were hyping it and hyping it, and you're thinking it's going to be something much more related to, like, the Doomsday Clock or, you know, Watchmen in general or something.
Right.
And it's like, nope, I am your father. And you're just like, oh, come on.
Yeah.
You know, like for 80 years, this has been Superman's father blew up on the planet and now you're going to do this. Mm-hmm. You know, it definitely felt it was definitely a letdown. I mean, it felt like a cheap ploy to get people just talking. Oh my goodness. His father's back. And you're just like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
For you, has Superman been as good since then?
Not for me, no.
Yeah, because I've been thinking, like, Superman was a top-of-the-stack read for me for the first, I don't know, 30 issues or so.
Yeah.
But then, since then, I'm just like, eh, I'll get to Superman when I get to Superman.
It kind of took the wind out of the sails for me a little bit.
Right.
I mean, yeah, it's still a solid read and everything, and I still enjoy it.
Right.
But it wasn't
right, but it's not. I'm not rushing to read it now. I'm just like, oh yeah, I'll read it when I, you know, when I read the other stuff.
Right. Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. The I think another arc that I'm really enjoying, I mean, it hasn't even finished up yet, is in Aquaman, where he's like the exiled king, trying to save Atlantis.
Yeah.
That whole story has been fantastic, also, and the art in that book, I mean, I just blanked on his name. Stepan Sedgwick.
Yes.
On the art. I don't know what this guy does, but it is, I mean, it's like each panel is just like beautifully crafted and it's amazing. You know, I mean, I think that's another thing in this past year. I think DC has some of the best artists that I think they've had in a long while too.
Yeah, I agree with that.
You know, I mean, they've always had, you know, like a couple of the big name guys doing great stuff. Like, what's his name that always works with Jeff Johns? Ivan Reiss.
Right, yeah.
Or Reese or whatever it is.
Yeah,
Reese. You know, but with Sedgwick and Dexter Soy has been killing it on Red Hood.
Yeah.
And like everybody who's been working on Batman.
And don't forget Hal Jordan and the Green Lanterns, too.
Oh, yeah. Who's that? Ethan Van Sciver?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then wasn't it Raphael Albuquerque before that?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I love the style in Batgirl and Batgirl in the Birds of Prey.
Right. Yeah.
I just forgot the guy's name. He's a British guy. I'm going to call him Michael Hutchins, even though he's Australian.
Well, at least you didn't call him Doctor Who.
Yeah. I can't remember his name. I met the guy at New York Comic Con, and he was like super, super nice. But I love the style. Yeah, I love the style in that book. What the heck is his name? Wild Goose? It's something weird like that.
I'm looking it up right now.
Oh, I can't think of it. I want to say his last name is Wild Goose or something.
Has he always been on it?
He might have been on it from the beginning. I don't remember. But, I mean, the art has been pretty consistent throughout the series.
Yeah. Well, that was Claire Rowe who did number one.
Okay, no. Chris Wildgoose. I just found it.
There you go.
He's been on it. At least he's been on the last arc or so.
Last arc, right. Yes. Yes, because I always want to say Grey Goose.
No. I was confusing him with Isaac Goodhart, who does the art for Postal.
Oh, okay. Yep.
But he did something for DC. He was in that Young Artist Showcase something thing that they, that whatever, the new creator retreat.
Okay. Yeah.
He was one of the people that was at that. So I'm not sure. I don't know if he did something maybe in the winter. I haven't read the winter special yet. But I think, you know, maybe up and coming, he might do something for DC, which is kind of cool. Because he's like a young kid, too. He's only like 20, 21. Actually, maybe he's like 24 by now. I met him a couple years ago.
22, 23, somewhere around there, I think.
Yeah, something like that. Have you had any books? I mean, I guess beside Superman, maybe, that like going into at the start of Rebirth, you were really, really into them. And then like as this year has gone on, they've sort of dropped off a little for you.
You know,
or conversely, things that you weren't that into, but now you are.
Yeah, because ironically, it's another Superman. It's the action.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think when we got the reveal of the fake Clark Kent.
Okay.
And it was Mr. Mitzilplick.
Right.
That kind of got pushed down in the top of the pile, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah, I would say probably that would be the major one that I've noticed.
Mm.
I'm sure there's a couple more. But, I mean, obviously, Green Arrow, because I really enjoyed that book when it first came out, and then it just kind of dropped off for me.
Right.
What about you?
The same ones that you were saying, like action, Superman and action were both like for the first time in many, many years, I was enjoying both of the Superman books. Mm-hmm. And like, as this year has gone on, they're not bad, but it's, you know, like you said, the reveal of the fake Clark, which was like the whole story leading up to that, where you're like, oh my God, this is so crazy. Like, I can't wait to see what happens.
Right.
And then you get, you know, that crap reveal. And the same thing in Superman with who Oz is. Both of them, you know, I'm not nearly as excited about those.
Right. It's and not like only that, downs kind of.
Yeah, and because action for a bit before that, the story in action I wasn't as excited about, and then finally like the whole thing with the second Clark like got me really excited about the book again. Mm-hmm. Only to be like, yeah, let's pull the rug out from under your feet.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that. So you got those two too, or is there one more?
Yeah, I would say, like the other way, a book that I was sort of starting to lose interest in. I mean, not so much lose interest, but it wasn't holding my interest as much as I thought it would. Would be The Flash.
Okay.
That I started, you know, sort of, you know, you know what? I'll wait. You know, two or three issues and then read them all together, kind of. Mm-hmm. But I think towards the end of the year, it's really started to pick up again for me.
Okay.
That I believe I'm two issues behind right now. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it definitely has me way more excited about The Flash, you know, than I was before.
Right. Titans. Titans picked up again for me.
Oh yeah,
because I was excited, obviously, for it when to it come when it started, and then it kind of fell off, or it really fell off for me, and like went way down in the mood read pile, and then here lately it's kicked it up a couple notches.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. And the same with I know. I guess, you know, it's been consistently pretty good. I've really enjoyed Super Sons the whole way. Like, I was trying to think if there was like a little bit of a lull, but I don't think so.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, that's one. And I'm not even sure when the drop off happened. I can't. How many issues into Trinity are we? Like 16, 17?
Something like that. Yeah.
That one comes out monthly, right?
Now. Yeah.
Yeah, like that. That's another one. That the first arc in Trinity was really, really good.
Yeah.
And as soon as the arc ended and the Trinity, it was no longer, you know, Bruce, Diana, and Clark, and it shifted, I was like, you know what? There is not any bits of me that cares about this story anymore. So that would be another one that I dropped the title completely.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't read it since. I read two issues with the new group.
Okay.
So I guess I read, it was probably like 8 and 9 maybe.
Right.
Right.
And then I was like, yeah, no, I just, partway through the 9th, or whatever issue it was, the second one, I was just like, I don't care. I'm not going to kill myself reading this for something that I'm not, like, I don't like the people involved, and I just don't. And I can't even remember who was in it now. Let me see.
Like the creative team?
No. Or just, not the creative team. The characters that the, okay. Yeah, because after it. No, I guess issue 8 is still them. I'm just trying to find where it shifted to someone new. Because 9 was still Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman. 10 is still them. I can't find it now. Now I can't even find it. I don't know. Maybe, is it back to Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman in the book? Have you been reading it?
I'm like 2 or 3 behind.
So no, but it looks like it's them again.
Huh. It wasn't. I don't think it was when I left.
Yeah, so maybe I read the first 5 issues and then stopped like 6 or 7 or something. Like there was one point where it was definitely not the 3 of them, but it looks like it was. So I'm going to have to go back and figure out. Because I'm just looking at the some of the covers.
Breaking news. You're wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to have to definitely go back now and check out Trinity.
Another book for me that changed, I guess, from not so great for me to really good is The Hellblazer.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because I dig that style, but like when it first came out, I was excited for it because I was riding the high of the TV show.
Right.
And then I really enjoyed like the first arc, and then like you said, like after the first arc, it seemed like to be a great read, but it wasn't like moving the needle for me.
Right.
And then I think the latest issue is like 17, so like 15, 14 maybe, when Tim Seeley wrote an issue.
Okay.
It like injected life back into it for me.
Mm.
But I can't remember. Well, he definitely did issue 15, so maybe he did an arc of it. I can't really remember.
Oh, you know what it was with Trinity?
What?
I want to say, I think, I just forgot the guy's name. Colin Bunn took over writing it.
For 2 issues?
Was that what it was?
Yeah, for 9 or 10, I think. Or 8 and 9. I know.
No, it looks like 7 and 8.
Okay.
Maybe he did more than that. Because I'm looking on Comixology at the covers.
Okay.
Yeah, Manipul was back for 9.
Okay.
So I think that's what it was. It looks like issue 6 was like Lex and Zod and somebody else. And I was like, I don't care about Lex and Zod. And I don't care about reading Colin Bunn. So, like, I barely made it through that. And I'm just like, screw this story. I'm done. Okay. And I never even realized. I just stopped getting it altogether. Uh-huh. I never realized that Manipul was back on it and that it, like, went right back to the actual Trinity. So.
Yeah, Manipul was on 6. And then Colin Bunn took over in 7 and 8.
Yeah. So.
Shame on you.
Well, I just picked up Trinity Volume 2, Dead Space. So that's 7 to 11.
So what would you say would be your favorite book of the year then?
I mean, it's really tough to knock
Dead School. Basically, all we did was like dissect each book that of Rebirth.
I mean, it's hard to not put Deadpool at the top of my list of favorite stuff.
Deathstroke, you mean?
Yeah, what am I talking about? Deadpool, Jesus Christ. Yeah, this is what happens when it's New Year's Eve and you're up until like 1 o'clock in the morning, and then you get up at 4:30 to start cooking a turkey for the day. Yeah, Deathstroke. Jesus, Deadpool. Yeah, my favorite book was probably Lois Pool, where it's Lois Lane going around assassinating people.
That sounds lovely.
Yeah. Yeah. Or Spider Starfire.
All right, so give me your top three.
Top three. Deathstroke, Wildstorm, Injustice.
Wow.
Probably. And Batgirl and Red Hood are like right behind those two. Nice. And I probably say six would be Detective. Seven would be Aquaman. And then after that, it becomes like a real, probably Hal Jordan.
Yeah, which had the Four Horsemen references.
Yeah, that was fantastic. Yeah. After eight, though, I mean, it could, it all really depends on the issues.
Okay.
You know, like those top eight are my consistent favorite. Like they haven't let me down so much. You know, like Aquaman did at the start a bit, but it's since it got going, it's really gotten going.
Right.
And I mean, there's been nothing I haven't liked about Aquaman. even the lame annual where everything turned out to be a dream. Still was good. I like the issue up until the ending.
All right.
You know, like it, I don't know, because there's so many TV shows and movies and other stuff that kind of use that whole, oh yeah, true, none of this actually happened kind of stuff. So yeah. It's.
Well, I mean, you got to put the toys back in the toy box.
Right. I mean, look, it was done well. It wasn't like it was totally ridiculous in how they did it. But it's just, you know, like how many times can you read the same story? That's my whole thing. Okay. But I mean, I enjoyed it, but it was probably the worst of the Aquaman of the year for me. Okay. But I mean, after that, you start getting into stuff that, you know, like you said, Titans will be good for a bit. Flash will be good for a bit. Teen Titans will be good for a bit. Superman will be good off and on. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's like depending on each issue or each storyline, how I'm enjoying it, it'll jump up and down a whole bunch of spots.
Well, you're going to be surprised, but Deathstroke
is not your number one.
Yeah, it didn't crack my top five, actually.
Top five?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's Let me number see if six, I guess this. Though.
Wildstorm?
Wildstorm?
Wildstorm, yeah. Michael Cray. Are you counting those as two books, I'm guessing?
I'm not counting Michael Cray at all.
I kind of just lumped that in with Wildstorm.
Yeah, that's fine.
Then you're going to say Injustice, I'm guessing.
Yeah, that's in the top five. Yeah.
You're going to say Batman.
No.
No? Ooh, damn, I have no idea.
I got...
Okay, are you going to say Doomsday Clock?
No, because there's only three issues.
Two issues. Yeah, I left that one
or
out.
Two issues, yeah. So,
all right, so Storm and Injustice. And let's see. It's going to be something off the wall. So is. You're going to say, not Ragman or something. Dead, whatever.
Ragman?
Yeah.
Ragman's pretty good, yeah. But
is that not on your list?
Well, it's in the top 10, but it's not.
Oh, okay.
You ready for me to go, or are you going to keep guessing?
No, you can tell me. All right. I'm not going to get, and it's going to probably mess me up.
Top five's in any order, so.
Okay.
So you got Injustice.
Right.
You got The Wildstorm.
Right.
Gotham City Garage.
Oh, okay.
Because Gotham, it's a weekly, just like Injustice, but it's right. Like an alt reality type one that's really good.
Yeah, you know what? I read the first issue. And it wasn't bad, but it didn't grab me. So I was like, I'm not going to get involved with another weekly.
Yeah,
so
I can see that.
It's one of those I'll probably go back to at some point when, uh-huh. when there's like collected editions out.
Right. And that's the smart way, not the Ronnie way.
Yeah, well, that's, I mean, I know Martin doesn't read weekly books.
Yeah.
I'll read weekly books, but I can't read multiple weekly books on top of bi-weekly books and monthly, you know, it's too much.
Right, I get it. Trust me, I get it. And then I have Batman White Knight.
Oh, yeah, you know what? I forgot about that. I haven't started that one yet.
And then I have Mr. Miracle.
Okay, I could see that.
Was that five, right?
That's five, yeah.
Yeah. So that's my top five. And then I have Deathstroke, and then Batman, and then Ragman.
Mm.
And then, like you said, like after that...
Yeah, they all jump around.
It's kind of interchangeable. Because there's that one, the book one, I can't remember what it was, of Batman. That was the European style. You know what I'm talking about? But
yeah,
because we don't get book two until like the summer or something.
Oh, what was it?
But
I know what you're talking about, and I can't.
That one's great, and then there's the Kurt Busiek one.
Right.
That's fantastic, also, and then
Creature of the Night.
Yeah, maybe.
Is that the one?
No, it's like Prince Charming or Knight Charming or
Dark Prince Charming.
Dark Prince Charming. There you go.
Yeah. Which one's Creature of the Night? Is that the Busiek one?
Yeah, that's the Busiek one.
Okay.
So, and I mean, that's just... I tried to go with not the mainstream ones, I guess, but I also went with ones that I enjoyed thoroughly, too. Like,
right.
Like Injustice, it's a quick read, because...
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't get it. Injustice, for some reason... Every issue of that book, it takes like 2 minutes to read the story.
Yeah.
For like, it doesn't matter. I could be like, oh, you know what? I haven't read Injustice in 10 weeks. Let me read the last 10 issues. And it's like 20 minutes later, I've read the whole thing.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe because the way the pages are laid out, it's like pretty straightforward.
And
like 90% of it is like just the same 3-panel page.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean... Because if you look, really, like, my top five is, like, alternate universe books, basically.
Yeah.
I mean, besides Mr. Miracle, which we're assuming takes place in the main...
In the Upside Down?
Yeah, in the Upside Down. But, like, Gossip City Garage is definitely a different take, and it's kind of cool, like... It's kind of like Injustice when they bring in a new character and you're like, oh, that's how they're bringing them in type thing. And White Knight has great art and a whole different take.
Yeah. Issue four that just came out, I think. Right.
Yeah.
So it's time for me to start reading that.
Yeah. It's past time.
Oh, wait, no. Issue 4 comes out this week?
Issue 4 comes out this week.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Because that's half of it. It's 8 issues, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So then when 4 comes out, I'll read the first 4.
Yeah.
And we can talk about Batman White Knight on the show.
Yeah. And it's great. And I love it. So you'll probably hate it. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean.
You don't like Sean Murphy's art, right?
No, I do.
Okay.
Yeah, I dig his style.
Because I was going to say, if you said no, we'd have to cancel the podcast right now.
No, I like his stuff.
All right. But yeah, I mean, those are out of my comfort zone type things, I would say, right? Because we could pick Deathstroke, or we could pick Batman, or Teen Titans, or whatever, as our go-to all the time. But the risks, or... You know, the ones, because there were some that didn't even work out, that absolutely stunk up the joint.
Right.
And I'll give you an example, would be Neil Adams' Dead Man.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like, so last year, Dead Man had Love and Mansion, or I can't remember the actual name of it. But that was a fantastic, like, dark romance type book.
Yeah.
And then, and Supergirl had one also.
Okay.
Where at the point, it didn't happen in the DCU, but we were like, this girl should be right, or the woman that was writing the Supergirl should be writing the actual Supergirl comic, because it was better than the actual comic coming out.
Right. Oh, what was that mini killed? I forget what it was. Yeah. Not Unbound.
No.
That was Superman Unbound or something.
Yeah. I don't remember, but like, there's some examples of risks that I didn't like gravitate to.
Well, that's the thing, though. Neil Adams, I mean, I get he's like a legend in the business. But honestly, like at this point, it's like Frank Miller.
Yeah.
That if you don't have somebody, you know, like with him, let him come up with a story idea and then have somebody who still understands how to write a story, write the story.
And reeling back in.
Yeah. Like I think that's whatever the last Dark Knight, Master Race or whatever. Yeah,
Master Race.
Whatever the one. Didn't like Brian Buccellato or somebody write that one? Or Brian Azzarello or somebody. Like, someone
Azzarello,
wrote it with him.
Azzarello is attached to it, but I'm not sure.
I'm pretty sure what happened was they're like, hey, you know,
yeah.
Frank Miller, we want your name attached to this. Write another sequel. Give us a story. And then we're just going to pass it off to this guy to write the actual script.
Right. And the Supergirl one-shot, or not one-shot, but the mini that I was talking about is called Supergirl Being Super.
Oh, right. Yeah, that was really good.
Yeah, it was only four issues. But that was 2016 and not...
Oh, okay.
Well, it started December of 2016, so it might count for this year.
Yeah.
But it was at the front end of this year, I guess.
Right. Yeah, but like that's... I definitely like that DC's doing that. That, yes, they have their mainstream superhero books that they're known for. But, I mean, like you were saying at the beginning of the show, there are so many indie publishers that are doing so many crazy good things that, I mean, like a lot of comic fans are, you know, I mean, we read a lot of stuff from everybody.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of people that are like, oh, I'm not really that into superheroes, but I'm into, you know, this crazy weird style book. And you see DC is like trying to capture some of that.
Right. Yeah.
You know, like with White Knight, with, you know, like other things like that, that it's, I like that they're taking the chances with it.
Right. Oh, well, and that's kind of... like with White Knight or even Mr. Miracle, say, it kind of has that indie feel to it.
Right.
And not the same formatic.
Yeah.
Type thing.
Is White Knight, is that coming out as a DC book, or is that for some reason, that's not coming out as a Vertigo thing, is it?
No, it's a DC book.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's DC.
Yeah.
All the way.
Yeah, but it's nice that, like you said, editorial is giving it that weird indie feel.
Yeah.
And that they're not like, oh, you're writing a Batman story. It has to be a Batman story. You know, it's like an Elseworldsy, you know, just like bizarre.
Right.
You know, let's see what happens with this one. Just go.
Because there are, I mean, let's be honest, there's not that many people that can read or afford to read as many comics as we do.
Yeah.
Right. So if you're one of the main two, you're just going to go in and buy whatever, you know, whether you like it or not. Let's be honest, you're going to buy it regardless, right? Because you support that character.
Yeah.
Like Martin, for example. He loves Batman. He's not really digging the current Batman, but he's still supporting the book.
Right.
So... if you have, and there's far few between, but say you only have $20 every 2 weeks to go by, and you're not into the Capes and Cows, So you're leaning hard on indie stuff. But if you go in there and see the, like, Mr. Miracle or White Knight, then, you know, that's great marketing for DC to do that, to put it out like that. Or, say, you're kids and you're not even into it, but you're buying Injustice video game. And then you go to the store and you see that the comic's coming out, then bam. It's just... So... Which is one reason I think I said in an issue, or an issue, an episode before, is I don't really like the Mortal Kombat style because I'm not very good at it, so I avoid those type of games.
Yeah.
But, like, I was interested in the story and the cutscenes of Injustice that got me to pick up the actual book at the beginning.
Right, but at the same time, though, even though it's like a Mortal Kombat style fighting game, you get to be freaking Superman,
Batman,
and, you know, like Green Lantern, and, you know, I mean, that in itself is kind of cool.
I'm not dissing on it at all. I'm just saying, like, for me,
my God, Ronnie, why are you hating on that game?
For me, I'd suck at it, so I wouldn't get to see all the cutscenes anyway. So I have to go to YouTube to look at the.
Isn't there like an easy mode?
Yes, but I suck.
Oh, Ronnie.
You're derailing my point.
No. I totally understand exactly what you're saying, and it makes a lot of sense. And it's also something I don't understand why DC hasn't put some kind of... I mean, I know it's probably expensive, and it's like the cost does not... makes sense, but if you have a Flash TV series on CW that is like pretty popular, when the end credits are going, I don't understand why they wouldn't, you know, I get you're showing scenes from next week's episode, but 10 seconds, 15 seconds, Flash issue 34 hits newsstands, you know, this week, check it out, you know, you got Arrow, throw a Green Arrow, like a little something on there. Do it once, you know, see if it has any spike in sales for the comic. You know, I mean, like I said, I mean, it's probably cost prohibitive to buy time on the TV and to produce a little something to, you know, whatever the thing is. But I mean, you never know until you try it, right?
For example, The Gifted, right?
Right.
Because every other Sunday football commercial is about The Gifted. So I'm sure that a lot of people tuned in just to watch that probably wouldn't even had any intentions to, because for 8 hours of football that you're watching, 4 hours of that was Gifted commercials.
Yeah.
So, hey.
38 minutes of actual playtime in football and 4 hours of commercials for The Gifted.
You know what I'm saying. There's a lot of Gifted commercials on there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I totally get what you're saying. Throw up the banner, no matter what it is, right? Check out whatever.
Hell, before Justice League in the theater.
Yeah.
You know, 90% of movie theaters now were showing just like straight up commercials and whatever else for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Before the trailers were even starting.
Yeah.
Throw up something, you know. Throw something in there. It doesn't even have to be at the comic book, but something about the characters, and use the animation, use comic image, use something.
Yeah.
You know, like there are people going to see a Justice League movie. Obviously they're interested in the character.
Right.
Right.
That, you know, you can cross market it somewhere.
Crap. I had a Flow Progressive commercial.
Did you?
Yeah.
I don't remember getting commercials. We get a lot of like, here's an upcoming TV series you might be interested in. It's like a behind the scenes look at some crap.
Well, yeah, we get
that. And it's like, it's never anything that I'm interested in. But like, if you were to be like, hey, this is what's going on in the Justice League comic book right now.
Right.
Crazy aliens are doing this. And like, you know, they do those stupid motion comic things.
Yep.
Do like a 2-minute commercial where it shows a bunch of stuff from DC.
Yeah, Christopher Priest is on Justice League the comic now, so it'd be a great way to get people into it.
Yeah.
So, yep, I totally agree. Racing. Or even like with Gotham.
Yeah.
When you show Gotham, you can... I mean, there's tons of Batman books coming out, right? So you don't have to just focus on one, but...
Well, and that's the thing. Like, Gotham is such like a weird, dark, not quite Batman that it would be perfect to advertise all the weird, not Batman books that are coming out.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
The whole Metal storyline.
Yeah.
You know?
White Knight.
White Knight or the other one, the Dark Conquest or whatever.
Yeah. Right.
You know? Just one 30-second commercial where you're like, coming to, you know, coming out to shops this week. Here's blah, 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 blah.
Right.
See if it does anything. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. And you don't do it again. But, I mean, if it's a bump, it's a bump.
Right.
You know, the whole thing, you're trying to get, you're trying to get people to come into comic shops and pick up your books.
Yeah. Well, and here lately, it doesn't even have to be comic shops, right? It could be big things like Barnes and Noble or whatever.
Yeah. Even. Yeah. Comixology. I'm surprised Comixology doesn't put like ads anywhere but at comic book conventions.
Yeah.
You know, like if people who used to read comic books and haven't read in a long time, and it's like, you know, now they're, you know, 50 years old and they got a couple like teenage kids.
Easy.
And, you know, they don't have the time that they used to just go hang out in a comic shop and talk to people and find out what, you know what? Throw a freaking ad for Comixology somewhere. Like, how simple is it? You go on a website and you're like, huh, I like Wolverine. Wow, there's, you know, this new miniseries of Wolverine that just came out. Oh, it's on sale for $3. I'll buy it for $3. I mean, it's a Marvel book. So it's on sale for $28. I'll buy it for $28 and I'll read it.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Well, I mean, it's...
And that's a great point because Justice League came out, right? But it wasn't like a summer movie. But Comixology had, what, 80% off DC?
Yeah.
So why couldn't you throw that in front of the Justice League trailer or end of the movie or whatever?
Yeah.
But
I mean, I don't even know what sales they're having. They had like a ton of stuff for Christmas too. Yeah. Like it seemed like every publisher was, you know, up to 80% off.
Yeah.
You know, just like ridiculous sales on stuff. And you don't see an ad anywhere. You'd think, like you said, on Gotham or on, you know, The Gifted or whatever the Hulu one, Runaways. You know, like with all, you know, throw up on CW. They have 75 comic book shows now.
Yeah.
You know, even Riverdale, you know, I mean, granted Archie is maybe, what is it? Archie After Midnight or whatever.
Yeah, I think so.
Death by Archie something, you know, maybe that's closer to the tone than the regular comic, but like even something. You know, if the whole thing is, hey, you know, we want more eyes on our product, you know, why aren't the companies pushing for stuff like that?
Yeah, I agree.
Craziness.
So, favorite TV show, DC, this year?
That's a tough one.
I'm going to say Gotham.
To be honest... Gotham is up there, but iZombie is so good, man. I love that show.
Yeah, I'm behind on it, so I gotta go with what I'm caught up on. So,
right.
But I'm with you. iZombie, like I think half of the first season was out because I tried like 15 minutes of, and I was like, it's good, but I don't have time for it right now.
Right.
And so then, you know, I binged the first season.
Yeah, the only downside to that is that my wife watches it with me.
Oh.
So it's like occasionally we'll get, you know, it's like, oh, hey, iZombie's back. We're, you know, ready to watch. Oh, I'm busy grading papers or I'm doing this or something. Right. It's like, all right. And then it's, you know, like a month passes and it's like, hey, we've got 5 episodes of iZombie to watch. Like, can we sit and watch a couple of them? Oh, I'm tired. I'm like, listen, I am now watching 5 episodes of iZombie and I will leave them on the TiVo for you. But yeah, that's good. and Gotham is really good. I really enjoy Lucifer also.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it almost fills that Hellblazer hole for me.
Okay. Yeah.
Not quite. Like, I wish Constantine was still around.
Yeah.
But Lucifer does a decent enough job of giving me that dark, you know, magical kind of DC story.
I can see that.
And honestly, the CW shows, I don't watch Supergirl. You're going to watch that for me to tell me about it. But Arrow, Flash, Legends of Tomorrow, they're all so much better this year than they were last year.
Yeah.
That, you know, I'm actually like enjoying watching them again. It's not like, oh yeah, I got three episodes of Arrow that I guess I'll sit and watch now.
Right. Yep. Totally agree with that. Especially Legends of Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Because, like, where Gotham is so dark and gritty and out there from the books that we read.
Right.
Like, Legends of Tomorrow is, like, Silver Age crazy goofiness type stuff.
Yeah. It's for them. I mean, it's got some dramatic elements.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's, like, it's just not happy, but it's, like, a much lighter storytelling than any of the other, right. Even than the Flash, which used to be like super light and comedic,
uh-huh.
It still is, but it's gotten dark.
Right.
You know, yeah. Arrow's always been kind of dark.
Yeah.
But Legends is like that one, you know, happy-go-lucky. We're a bunch of weirdos, you know, doing dumb things and figuring out how to save the day as we go.
Yep. So. Movie Justice League times 100.
No, I like Wonder Woman more than Justice League.
Seriously?
No, I like Justice League way more than Wonder Woman.
Okay.
I'm going to be honest with you. I loved Wonder Woman a lot, mm-hmm. but giving me the great Wonder Woman with Batman and Flash and Aquaman and Superman.
And Cyborg.
And Superman is fantastic.
Yeah. Yep. I think I'm up to like 9 viewings now.
Jeez.
I there's just so much stuff that I love in it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, even the scene at the end where Superman and Cyborg are like pulling apart the mother boxes.
Right.
And they're like laying on the ground after it blows, and they're like laying on the ground laughing in pain.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, why do my toes hurt? You know?
Right.
That's just fantastic.
Yeah. Yep. To me, that... No, don't get me wrong. There's... see? And I keep hearing, like, there's this and this wrong with it, and this wrong with it. I don't see it, I guess.
I didn't see any of it.
Like, because everything that they're bitching about, I thought was great.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care if it looks like Superman used wax and ripped off his mustache.
Yeah, you know what?
And I'm
going to be honest with you.
And I saw the video of him with the mustache.
Right.
So I wouldn't even care if they left that part in. You know what I mean? Who cares if Superman has a mustache or not?
Yeah, but, I mean...
And like, Flash is, oh, he's so juvenile and jokey and whatever. That's because he's still a kid.
Yeah.
And Aquaman is just nerdy, or not nerdy, but like tough and a pretend badass and blah, blah, blah. Well, Aquaman has been the ass end of a joke for, what, 30 years now?
Yeah, when did Super Friends start? 70s? Yeah,
exactly. So, I mean, this take of Aquaman, and, I mean, that's coming from you who hates Jason Momoa, right?
Yeah, I'm not a fan.
Yeah, see? So, I don't know. I liked every aspect of it. I loved Batfleck as,
yep.
as Batman and as Bruce Wayne. I yep. loved.
I even like Alfred in these movies.
Yes.
Like, he, it fits so well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the scene, I mean, I guess this is going back to Batman versus Superman, but when Bruce is just like, you know, when he's flying the bat plane at the end,
right,
and he's going to go rescue Martha Kent, mm-hmm. and he's like, take over, and Alfred's just like sitting in the chair, and the controls pop up, and he starts flying the plane.
Right.
And he's like, oh, I'm going to drop you off on the second floor instead of, like, come on, that's freaking awesome.
Yeah.
You know, like... Yeah. I love it.
Yep.
I love it all.
I totally love it.
Yeah.
And it has the right mixture. It has the right mixture of drama, grittiness, comedy, goofiness, yeah. even. Right? Because, yeah, I mean, let's be real, because every time Flash is on the screen, it's goofiness. Right? So...
Yeah.
But
and I'm going to be honest, I was very, very surprised with his performance in the movie too.
Yeah.
Like he's a great actor, but everything that I've seen him in has been like these dark, you know, like mind screws of a movie. You know, like
I don't think I've ever seen him in anything.
Oh, he's in a movie we have to talk about Kevin, or we need to talk about Kevin, or whatever it is, where he's just like this evil, like, sociopath kid, huh. who, like, basically the only thing he does is live to make his mother's life miserable. Huh. You know, and he was in The Perks of Being a Wallflower, which is another... It's not, like, a lighthearted movie at all. And he was in The Stanford Prison Experiment, which was another like really heavy movie. And it's just, you know, when they're like, oh, he's going to be the Flash. I'm like, oh, that's an interesting, like he's a good actor, but I don't know. But man, he played comedy just as well as he did everything else.
Right.
You know, like I thought he fit the character perfectly. So, and I mean, I guess the only movie they have coming out this year is Aquaman, right?
Suicide 2 is not coming out.
Oh yeah. I guess Suicide Squad 2 is. Right?
Yeah.
Aquaman. So. I don't even remember now. Because I thought Aquaman was like in the fall.
Aquaman's like done, I think, and like yeah. in post-production. But, I mean, everything's up in the air now, apparently, anyway.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it is. But just saying. So who knows?
Yeah. I don't see a release date.
For Aquaman?
Yeah. 21st of December?
Okay. I knew it was going to be a winter one, but I didn't know it was going to be that wintery. When's Suicide Squad 2 then?
Let's see.
Clacky, clacky, clacky.
Yeah. No, it says it's 2019.
Huh. All right, then. I can't believe that there's only one DC movie coming out next year.
Yeah.
And if so, that's a shame. But okay. Do you have anything else to wrap up our lame review of 2017?
Hey, at least we didn't do just best of lists.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, because usually that's what they are. Because like some of the stupid lists that I saw was like, "Oh, there are so many worse comic books come out. I don't know if we can pick 10."
Yep.
I'm like, what good the stuff. Hell? You guys are stupid.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's somebody who doesn't know anything about anything.
Yeah,
is just trying to write a sensationalistic article.
Yeah, you better use Grammarly.com.
But yeah, no, I think I'm all wrapped up.
You're all wrapped up? No place to go?
Nah, no place to go but bed, my friend.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. So thank you for listening to this episode. If you would like to tweet me directly, you can get me at Aaron S. Bell.
You can tweet me directly at Rombar316.
You can tweet the show directly at DC_Absolute. And thank you for listening.
If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and if you can find them, maybe you can hire
DC Absolute.
Hell yeah.
Holy crap, this is amazing.